superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With the third pick.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
The New York Jets select Sam Darnold.
Darnold on a keeper. He's going to run right. Lowers his shoulder at the goal line. He's in.
Gone away are the days of the lies. Bittersweet goodbye.
Intercepted in the end zone.
Seen ghosts.
Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. Coming up, Washington football team head coach Ron Rivera. From Disney Plus's The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, actor Wyatt Russell. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, The Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We welcome you to this program if you are just tuning in here on Peacock or this Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate or Sirius XM channel 211. Jay Billis talked about the Baylor Bears' big-time victory last night against the undefeated team from Gonzaga, which, interestingly enough, ends the season with its only loss of the season. And the last lead of their season was when Jalen Suggs hit that buzzer-beating three in overtime to beat UCLA. That was the last lead they had in the tournament.
Wow.
And all year long. Just a fancy way to say Baylor never trailed in the national championship game last night. It felt like it was toast when it was 9-0, 11-1, and 29-10. My gosh, to start the game. And that was all she eventually wrote. And congratulations again to Scott Drew, who was on this program. Go to our YouTube feed, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. He was on March 1st. Chris, you tweeted out from our Twitter account, at Rich Eisen Show, a terrific excerpt from it, talking about all that they overcame this season alone.
Crazy.
With being sat for COVID for 3 weeks, coming off, losing their only game. They come out of their COVID sit-down and have to go to Kansas on senior night, their only loss of the season. They also got through collectively that awful snow and winter storm that turned so many lives upside down in the state of Texas. They're national champions, first national champions in men's basketball from the state of Texas since the Texas Western team, the famed Don Haskins Glory Road team of 1966. Congratulations to them. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. It is the NFL draft month, as we all know, and this team had some interesting maneuvers in the free agency period. Joining us right in the middle of the talent evaluation portion of his non-playing season, as we say it in the NFL, is the head coach of the Washington football team, Ron Rivera, back here on the show. How are you, Coach?
Doing good, Rich. How are you?
I am fine. Walk us through what a day is like for you getting ready for the NFL draft, Ron Rivera.
Well, basically, it's we come in, we have meetings early in the morning with the coaches or with our scouting department, and then we go back and we start doing our evals on some of the prospects that have caught our eye. And once we get into next week, we're actually do our draft readings and have our meetings for the different positions. And so we're really, diving into it now that free agency has slowed down for the most part.
Okay, yes, and you made some interesting maneuvers. Let's talk about, obviously, the quarterback spot first up. How do you evaluate your quarterback room right now and the depth chart in which you place everybody right now?
Well, the way it's set up, Ryan's going to come in as the starter. But he's got a couple of young veteran guys that'll be competing for the ability to play in both Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen. And then we have a second-year player coming off of a disrupted rookie year, Steven Montez from Colorado, who we like a lot of. But Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in as a veteran guy who's very savvy and has a world of experience. You know, we're a team that I think is still developing and growing, and to have a veteran guy leading it like we did last year with Alex, I think it can give us a real big boost into development and growth of this football team.
And I mean, it's just it is amazing sometimes watching Ryan Fitzpatrick play. It's infectious just as a fan. What about his game do you think suits Washington football team schemes? What do you like about his fit here?
Well, really, to me, it's about ball distribution. He puts the ball in so many different players' hands. You know, when we went back and evaluated his last few years in the league, they were some of his better years. He did some really good things the last couple of years. You know, he's been very helpful in the growth and development of the team in Miami. And, you know, here's a guy that can come in and do the same thing for us. And who knows? Who knows what happens after this coming season as far as him? I mean, what he can do for us and how he can help us grow and develop as a team.
And where else, I guess, did you look at? How many people did you look at for your quarterback spot landing on Ryan?
We looked at several. You know, we were in the Matthew Stafford derby. You know, we thought that he would be a guy that would really help us as well. And, you know, when that didn't transpire, you know, we had always been talking about Ryan. He was always in the conversation. And so we went after him as soon as we had the opportunity.
And why, Ron, did things end with you and Alex Smith? It seemed like an incredible run. And it does seem as well, like if you could lend any perspective to the way things ended, he wanted to play. Maybe you didn't feel comfortable with him playing in that playoff game, leading to some sort of gear grinding. Is that a fair assessment? What can you tell us about all that, Coach?
Well, there's really not much to talk about as far as that was concerned. I mean, it was something that I think he felt his opportunities might lie elsewhere. And so, you know, we gave him the opportunity, you know, by releasing him. And we'll go from there. I mean, he did a great job. He was very instrumental, as I said, in the development of this football team. And, you know, he will always have a place of high honor here in this organization.
And then I guess I'll give you a chance to maybe respond. He gave a quote to Gentleman's Quarterly saying that he thinks that his play helped throw a wrench into your plans. And it seemed like you actually were quite, you know, happy to use him sometimes. So it was a little bit jarring. What do you say when you hear that quote, Coach?
Well, you know, his site came out and explained that, you know, this was a reporter didn't quite take it in context, which is fine. And to be honest, I you know, he and I had a great sit down. We had a great conversation after the season was over. And, you know, we talked a little bit about that. And I told him, I said, I honestly don't disagree with you because it was frightening. I told him I was scared to death. I did not know. And he said, you know, Coach, that's fair because there really was no roadmap to us getting to where we were, which was true. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. And so because of that, you know, there was trepidation on my part. And I told him when he went out there against the Rams and, you know, and he gets sacked for the first time, I had a pit in my stomach, and I literally turned up into the stands and looked at his family because I'm thinking to myself, oh, goodness, you know, what's going on? Because, again, there was no roadmap. Nothing told us, you know, what was going to happen. So there was. I mean, to be honest, to be completely straightforward about this, and as I said, we had a great conversation about it, and he, you know, he and I had a good conversation. We really did.
Ron Rivera here on the Rich Eisen Show. It seems like you're getting a lot of some of the Carolina gang back together one by one. Obviously, you know, Kyle Allen is still on your staff and on your roster. You're obviously comfortable with him and how he can run an offense that you're comfortable with. And Curtis Samuel, you went out and acquired him in free agency. What do you like about Curtis's game and how you think it can fit into everything that you're obviously building there on the O for the WFT?
Well, I think it's exciting because what it gives us is it gives us a vertical complement to who Terry McLaurin is for us. you know, with Terry now out there and Curtis out there and the mixture of guys that we have that we can put into play for ourselves, you know, with Adam Humphries and some of the guys that are coming back as far as Cam Sims is concerned and Steven Sims. I mean, we have an array of guys that can contribute and really go out there and tell people, hey, you can't roll to Terry anymore. You can't double Terry anymore. Because if you do and you want to leave Curtis alone, then great. That's fine. We'll take it. Or you want to leave Logan Thomas alone, you know, or Cam Sims or, you know, any of the guys. We have weapons now. And that, I think, is one of the more important things, that we have people that need to have the ball in their hands. And, you know, again, that's why I said that's the idea behind bringing a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick in, a guy that can distribute the ball to the different people.
Ron Rivera here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what do you let's talk a little bit about some of the rule changes that might be coming in the NFL or being discussed in the NFL or were discussed in the NFL. Do you like the idea of a sky judge, Coach? Would you be up for that?
I do. I think, you know, whatever we can do to help and make sure we get it right, I think that's important. And yet there's still a lot of things that have to be worked out. And I know those will be things that will be discussed as we start having our meetings in the next couple of weeks, as far as, you know, deciding whether or not that's something we do on a permanent basis or, you know, or for a trial basis. But I do like the idea of doing what we can to make sure we get it right, because it's important. I mean, you know, these games are important. You know, it's not like baseball or basketball where you have a number of games. You know, we have a limited number. We have, you know, we now have 17 that you have to play, and you want to win as many as those you can. I think it's important that you get them right. And if this helps us, then great.
Are you going to change the way that you run practices, Coach, in any way, shape, or form now that there's a 17th regular season game?
I think so. I think we learned a lot from last year, to be upfront about that. You know, as we went along the year and how things were changing and how things were, you know, were being required of us to be done, I think we may have found a couple of things completely different from what I had done in the past, as I did in Carolina my last few years, in terms of practice reps, number of reps, time spent on the field, time spent in walkthroughs, time spent in actual action periods. I mean, all that really came into play, and I think we learned, at least I feel like we learned, you know, myself, our training staff, our strength and conditioning, and our coaches, just how important it is to be aware of these. So I do think it's gonna change the way we approach to the season as we go through this 17-game stretch.
Would Ditka have changed his approach if you had a 17th game back in the 80s? Coach, what do you think?
I think he would have.
Okay.
I do, because I know he changed. I know he adapted when we went to 16.
Okay.
And I know he would have adapted as we go along. You know, he's somebody that paid attention to those things. Now, did we practice physically? Yes, we did. But as the season went on, we tapered off. So I think he would have done the same thing.
What's the angriest you ever made him or saw him? You got a good one for me?
Come on. Oh, man. I remember one time we blocked a kick, and we tried to scoop it, and I missed it, and another player missed it, and they recovered it, and it was a, you know, because it was a change of possession or however it worked out.
Right.
It ended up as a first down for the opponent, so we had to go back out there for another series. Thank goodness we stopped him, but when we were coming off, Dicka was there waiting for us. And he just right away, he yelled, "We have too many F blankety blank heroes just fall on the ball." And I still remember that to this day.
I imagine you coach the same thing, maybe in a different manner, but you carry that with you, and you try to instruct your charges in that regard, I'm sure. Oh, man.
I do remember that. Holy cow.
I didn't mean to give you those flashbacks, but I heard you tell this story on a Zoom that we did together with Tarico and a whole bunch of guys for our our friends at Wheels Up a couple of months ago. And I'd love to, for the Super Bowl, I'd love to have you retell it about John Madden and how influential he was in I guess, helping you, you know, in a way, earn your reputation as the old riverboat, Ron. Can you walk me through that one? What a great story this is, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Hitting me on this one, Ron.
No, what happened was, you know, after my second season, I had this dubious record of being 3-13 of games decided by 6 points or less. And the former owner, Jerry Richardson, had told me, you know, you need a mentor. I have a friend named John Madden, who you know. He said, I've talked with him, and he's waiting to hear from you. So I called Coach, and we started talking, and he said, oh, by the way, before you come see me, you know those 13 games you lost? I said, yeah. He said, go back and look at those games and think about what you could have done differently. So I did. I went back. I looked at those 13 games. I wrote this beautiful report. Okay, it's like about 18 pages of details about what I could have done differently and how things could have changed if I had done these different things. So we set an appointment. I fly out to see Coach in his home office in Pleasanton, California. I come in, we sit down, we start talking, and I mean, it was interesting as heck. And so just as we're about to get into the nuts and bolts of our conversation, I say, hey, Coach, I got that report for you. He said, oh, cool. But that's not for me. That's for you. I said, excuse me? He said, that's for you. What did you learn? Well, I said, the biggest thing I learned is I went by the book. He said, you went by the book? What book? I said, well, you know, the one, you know, I mean, you should kick it here in this situation, like, you know, in this game. And, you know, and he said, yeah, how'd it turn out? I said, well, he goes, Ron, forget this book. So go by your gut instinct. You've played enough football. You've coached enough football to go by your gut. Go by how the game feels. Do those things. And so I thought about that. Go back, and now we start the 2013 season, and we're playing Buffalo in Buffalo. And we get in the same situation. And sure enough, I went by the book. We kicked it. Go up by six. They get the ball, drive down, score the touchdown, kick Sears to point, and they beat us by one. I was sick. I was ready to throw up on it. And everything kept flashing back to what Coach said to me. And so I'm driving home that night, Monday night. I've watched the tape about 10 times and just, I'm just sick. As I'm driving, I'm thinking about this. I run a red light, and I almost get T-boned.
Oh.
And it just wakes me up. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. I get home, and I can't shake it. So the next week we're playing the Giants at home. In our first series, okay, we were 0-2 at that time. In our first series, I go for it twice on fourth down. Both times we convert and score the touchdown. Yeah. And then from that point on, every time we got into a fourth down situation, thinking about down and distance and where we are on the field, we went for it. We went for it. And so as the games progressed, by about the fifth game of the season, I did it again. We played Minnesota in Minnesota on the first series. It's 4-2. We were on a shovel pass to Mike Tolbert. He scores the touchdown. So after the game, some reporter basically writes, boy, Ron Rivera, he went for it. He was gambling like a riverboat gambler. And that's how it was born, Riverboat Ron. And, you know, and it's really not necessarily about just throwing, you know, to the wind as much as it's really thinking about and calculating situations like that.
And that's how Riverboat Ron was born. And that's you won on an 8-game winning streak off of that. And then obviously a couple of Coach of the Year awards after that. And now here you are, the defending NFC East champion head coach of the Washington football team. And I just to dovetail off that just a little bit is what the role of analytics plays now. You see it all the time. I mean, you went for the 2-point conversion in the win against the Giants that almost, you know, when it all came back, that let the Giants, you know, root heavily for Jalen Hurts against you on Sunday night football in game 256, you know, like, what is that push pull that you deal with sometimes?
It's about momentum and stuff like that to me. You know, it's funny because, you know, I've had coaches that I worked mentors like Norv Turner, and Norv and I have talked about, you know, the right time to go for it on two. You know, like a lot of people say, well, if you're down by 14 and you score, you should go for two now, okay, and on your first score.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do that, you just got the momentum back, and now you go for two and you miss. Now you've lost the momentum. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, those are the things that Norv and I talked about. And so I've always tried to keep those types of things in mind and how you do it. So really, it's about gut feel to me. I think the analytics are there to really, I guess, just indicate whether or not, you know, this is the right time or this is a good time to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because I've had situations where when we've gone for it with the analytics and it didn't happen out, and I've been told, hey, that's okay, you did what the analytics said. And to me, I struggle with that because if I did what analytics said and it says 9 times out of 10 you're going to complete it, there's that 1 time out of 10 you don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so how do you know if you're going to be that 1 time out of 10 that isn't successful? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if there is no guarantee, you can tell me all you want, oh, that it's 99%. Hey, that's good. Yeah, but what if you're that 1%? What if that one time it doesn't work? Nobody talks about that until it happens.
Right.
And then it's, oh, it's a bad decision. No, it's not a bad decision. The numbers, yeah, but the numbers also said. So you just don't know. You can argue it all you want.
You could, for sure. Hey, before I let you go, I know you've been kind enough to call in. I just want, this is literally for me. I'm not going to lie here. The most exciting play, one of the most exciting plays, let's put it that way, in the postseason was Taylor Heinicke diving for the pylon, hitting it with the Heinicke, and in that game against Tampa, it was dynamite. I hate the rule that if the ball is fumbled into the end zone, it goes back to the defense. I hate that because because Taylor, if Taylor had lost the ball on the way to that pylon, he's making an aggressive play. It got me off the couch. It was so exciting. What do you think of that rule? Would you want it changed in the NFL?
No, because there's always that caveat that if I always risk it by putting the ball out and putting the ball out and putting the ball out,
right?
Okay, I always risk that. Then there is no penalty for the risk. Nothing can be risk-free. There has to be a penalty. You know, it's crazy. It's like when we go through training camp and we got a rookie that's making all these plays on defense and everything like that. He goes, God, this guy's gonna be a great cornerback. And I always say, not so fast. And I said, what do you mean not so fast? I said, he's practicing with no consequences. I said, when you watch some of these guys play during practice, they're great. There's no consequence. They get on the field. Now everything's in front of them. They get tackled and all this stuff. And everybody goes, man, what happened to that guy that we had in training camp? Well, there's no consequences in training camp. So when it's for real and there's consequences, now they may not always be sticking that ball out because there should always be that chance that they may lose that ball. It may cost them. That's why, to me, it's hard for me to sit there and say, oh, yeah, we should change the rule.
Well,
again, if there's no consequences, people are going to try, and there's nothing to help the defense then.
Well,
it's just like pass interference. The guy throws the ball up in the air 50 yards downfield, and these guys are hand fighting, and the referee decides to call it a defensive penalty. The ball's on the one. Whereas if they call it on the offense, but it's from where the ball was thrown. That's where the penalty goes from.
Well, but my issue is that if let's just say Taylor reaches for it and it gets fumbled out at the half-inch yard line, it's still yours. But if it's fumbled another 16 inches north, it's no longer yours. That seems to me totally arbitrary. Right. That I can't stand. I mean, so I would change it in that could be a reverse touchback, that you now get the ball in the 20 with the same down. The distance is obviously different, but it's the same down, so there is some risk. I just don't like the fact that the defense that's been bending and is about to break gets a break because the guy loses the ball in the end zone. Even if they did force the fumble defensively, if it goes out at the half inch yard line, it's still yours. Further up the field, it's not. That's the arbitrariness I don't like.
No, hey, that's why it's great to have a talk show, because we can talk about that.
Well, the Ron Rivera show coming up after the Rich Eisen show, everybody. Thanks for the call, Ron. I appreciate the time immensely. Certainly during a busy time of the year for you, I'm sure. We'll chat again soon. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That's Ron Rivera, everybody, the HC of the WFT. I'm so glad he told that story about John Madden.
Story.
When he told it, I said, I'm going to make a mental note. Next time he's on, he's got to tell it. My favorite part of that story is Madden saying, that's not for me, it's for you. The homework I gave you isn't for me, it's for you.
Awesome.
And then the answer that comes from Ron is, well, I found out I followed everything by the book, and The answer back from John Madden is what book?
On cue.
What book?
What book?
What book are you talking about?
That's awesome.
There's a book inside you. It's called Your Gut. Read it from cover to cover and follow it. And he runs through a red light, which he didn't tell that story before. That was news to me because he's thinking about it after losing, going 0-2, 8 in a row. Totally changed everything. You can look that up. You could look up that point in time that he decided to riverboat Ron. It changed everything for him in Carolina and obviously his head coaching career.
That year they win 8 in a row, you mentioned, then lose, and then win the last 4 straight. So they win 12 out of 13 season.
After he said, after the what book?
And they lost in the first round of the playoffs that year, but still.
Well, he wound up in Super Bowl 50.
Yep.
Eventually.
2 years later.
Take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. The wildest golf video that went viral yesterday. That if you haven't seen, wait till you see it. It is nutty. That's next. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Show together with Ron Rivera, who has turned the page on Alex Smith.
Definitely seems so.
You know, I guess Ron shows up. I'm really nervous for you. I don't, we need a spot for somebody who's going to play. I don't believe it. And somebody's got all, or it's not that I don't believe in you. It's just, I'm nervous for you. It makes me really nervous. Or he could have not deep down believed that this is entirely possible. He's been there and he's done that. He's a hard old school football coach, maybe, and need that as a roster spot, but he's sticking there. And boy, he was, if he said he threw a wrench into it, it was a very useful tool towards the end of the season.
Glad they had him, obviously.
Where is he going to wind up? I told you he doesn't. His initial reaction isn't like, yeah, I just want to I'll just play for Urban again. Nice, nice full circle situation where, you know.
But who's left?
I'll be with Urban. He's my college coach. He'll be my last professional coach, and I'll just teach Trevor Lawrence how to be. I'll be a coach in the locker room for you. Where's he going to be? I don't know, but you'll see. Nobody thought Sam Bradford was required in Minnesota, right?
What if he mentors Zach Wilson?
I don't think that's what he wants to do. By the way, I'd be beyond thrilled if that happens. Beyond thrilled. I just don't think that's his initial. I think he'll sit and wait. And I think the Jaguars will sit and wait for him. And then there's the situation in Atlanta, right? That's up there. I know we want to hit that later on in the program.
It's brewing in Atlanta.
So
it's going down.
We'll see what happens all there. So I saw this video hitting on my timeline. Somebody popped that up there, and I saw it. It's Bryson DeChambeau warming up. I don't even know if that's a phrase for it.
I mean,
here he is on the practice range, and Vijay Singh is just standing there with his arms resting on his own driver. Okay,
I mean,
and he's just. watching Bryson DeChambeau just like smack. You can't even say he's smashing balls. It's just the way that he's twisting his body entirely and torquing it and then swinging from his heels. And then it's like Vijay is just standing there, can't believe what he's seeing. I don't think he's saying anything. He's just stopping and he's looking at it. And DeChambeau's like manic. Like the pace at which he's swinging and then also like his caddy's flipping him a golf ball, the next ball, and he's snatching it out of the air, and he's throwing it on the ground, and he's just like quickly setting up, and then he's smashing it again. And there's Vijay just like, you know, with his $100 million in the bank, you know, and his own trophy case, just standing there like, what the hell is this?
It's like watching Home Run Derby. It's like watching home run
or like those guys who do the long drive competition.
This is insane.
It's bananas.
That's insane.
And he looks like he should be in WrestleMania.
Yeah, all I could think of is that he snatches the next ball out of the air and he tees it up. And then he looks at and he sets up and there he goes again. Like he's literally standing over the ball again and Vijay's just standing there and swack again and then snatch another one out of the air and put it down. And then he steps back and he sets up. Now he's standing over the ball again.
Catch my breath real
quick. Vijay's looking at it and then here we go. And then Happy Madison all the way down the field, you know, and then.
It is insane.
I mean.
That swing is insane.
That swing is violent.
It's crazy.
And so there's two things I thought of. First of all, is how's this man not going to have back problems later in his life if this is the way he's swinging? Like, he's a young buck right now, but trust me. As somebody who last week when I was out, I spent a full day chewing Motrin just because I leaned into the tub for a split second. Geez. All right?
Yeah, he's 27.
All right, great now. 27 now. 37, we're going to have issues.
Yeah.
All right. But again, that's his thing. Let me just ask you this. And I mean this with all sincerity here. And this is not because I've never met the guy, and I will root for him. And he's fun to watch, man.
DeChambeau?
He's fun. I stop on the remote if I am switching. Yeah. He's playing. I want to see what he's got.
And he's teeing off. You want to watch.
No doubt.
I want to see how far it goes.
No doubt. I want to see where it lands. Yeah. I want to see how much further he is than everybody else. And it is something to watch, okay? But let me just ask you this question. Let's say you're on a range wherever you're on a range.
Okay.
Okay? Let's say anybody out there at home, you're fortunate to have a regular spot or a club or whatever, and you're on a range, and this type of person shows up.
Oh my God.
You're like thinking to yourself, what's their problem?
Yeah.
What are they on? Like, what are they on? It's literally what I'd be like. Just like, my God, you know, like, I would stop like Vijay and kind of be like, huh.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
Right. You know?
Yeah, I would watch for several minutes.
Right.
Yeah,
what is this person's malfunction?
Yeah.
It's so beyond normal to see someone swing this hard and then have somebody flip them a ball and snatch it out of the air. Like, you're in a mood. Like, you're like, this is, like, right. I'm feeling it. I am going to win the Masters. I'm going to get a jacket. And I already have my meal picked out for next year. And I'm going to sit in Butler Cabin. And I am going to talk to Jim Nance. And I can't wait. Give me another ball. And I'm going to stand over it. And booyah, swing that one and give me another ball. Where's that cabin? I know my jacket size. Let's go. Vijay, watch this. Here I go. Swing it. Yeah. Feeling it.
All right. Two things.
And I'm like, what is going on?
Two things immediately come to mind. They don't have a jacket in his size for him.
No.
You know what I mean?
We got to get the tailor, right? They got to split it down the back.
We got to extend it. He's got the traps.
Let's grab the one out of Fuzzy's locker and grab the one
and
out
like
of
put them together, put together.
Or yeah, and grab, you know, some grab Crenshaw's,
right?
Grab Fuzzy's,
the Freddy's,
you know, and like just hey Ben and Fuzzy, we'll get you new ones. We just got to stitch these together,
right?
You know how sometimes in the draft they have like the Nike person who's got the hot press to put the name on the back. They've just got to have a tailor sitting by to actually
Just construct outfit, this just construct, new green. Yeah. Right. Make the arms.
He's going to win. He's going to win
the arms a little bit.
Got to open the arms.
Got to open
them.
And then two.
Yes.
His meal next year would be like what? Like protein smoothies.
Yeah, electrolytes.
Boiled chicken.
Yeah.
Electrolytes.
Yeah. Like egg whites. Yeah.
Egg whites. Damn exactly. Yeah.
There are no, there's no inflammatory.
Whey powder. Protein powder.
No. And then you know what? We're all going to go out. We're going to do push-ups.
Yeah, exactly.
Together. Together. All of us. Let's go, champs. Let's go.
Like Jack Nicklaus doing crunches.
Yeah. Okay, Peloton.
Yeah.
He's going to be like a Peloton instructor. He's going to put on that thing. And he's like, let's get out there. Let's get out there and swing from our shoes and put everyone in traction.
Yeah.
That's right.
Here we go.
That's right.
And then have another protein shake. And then.
And let's go.
Like drinking raw eggs like Rocky.
Yeah. We are going to chew. We're going to chew supplements and put it in a smoothie. And then give me that ball and a swing. I'm going to hit it.
From Monaco to El Segundo.
How do you win the Masters like this?
That's where he's going to hit it.
He's not going to win.
He shows up at the range his first day at Augusta 2021. Here we go.
He's not winning.
The sound.
I saw that video and I'm like, what the hell is that?
The sound of when he hits the balls.
Oh, of course.
Like it's a mixer.
He has 200 plus ball speed. It's crazy.
Insane. There's nothing like any. And he's, you know, I mean, he's got the U.S. Open in his back pocket. Right?
I'd love to see him win the Masters.
And he's got this week. It would be amazing.
It would be amazing.
Because I tell you what, remember we were talking about this in November.
Yeah.
Going into the Masters, how he's going to wreck the course. I thought he was going to wreck the course, yeah. And he failed miserably. So he has a lot going
on.
It's
a tough course.
He's got a lot riding this week.
But he could do it.
He's got a lot riding.
Man.
Just a little less.
I'm like jacked up right now.
I mean, I know. You're watching.
I'm ready to go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's
here
right.
Here we go.
Thank you. Bill Walton won again. Again. Very rarely do I watch a player play who's getting ready to play in the Masters on a practice green, a practice tee box, out there on a range at the practice range. Very rarely, this first time in my life I've ever seen somebody out there, and I say to myself, I want to go hit somebody.
He's like
and VJ's just
like the ball offended him.
VJ's honestly twice his age, right? All the years of wisdom,
easily
just standing there going, oh my God, you're going to be in traction.
Yeah. It's like,
hey, buddy.
BJ's 58.
There he is.
He's like, whoa.
Here he is, Bryson DeChambeau, getting ready to show up at the 2035 Masters with his outfitted by Motrin.
He's a robot.
Brought to you by, he is just a weasel. That's what VJ's looking at it like, sir, son, you are a walking piece of ibuprofen when you hit 40, man.
See, you say that, right? But have you seen the Instagram video where the dude takes an egg and he puts it inside his bicep and he breaks it? He's like, I'm built different. That's what he would say to Vijay Singh. He's built different.
He is. Probably.
I'm sure
probably.
He is.
He's built different.
He's been there and done that, man. Oof.
By the way, walking ibuprofen.
Yes.
Is a great name.
I mean, that's insane, that swing.
So, you know, they'll be talking about it on Golf Pass or on Peacock, yeah. Or more appropriately, on Peacock. I think they'll be talking about it during WrestleMania.
Yeah. What if he runs out? He's like a special guest referee.
I mean, he's going to be playing in the Masters,
Well,
Chris.
He could win it, and then he could get on the PJ.
The same thing that one year Tiger won, and it was the Game of Thrones finale.
That's what I mean.
Yep. Get out there. Get out there. Just come on now.
He comes running down the aisle like the Ultimate Warrior.
Sunday.
You know.
DeChambeau should tie the things around his biceps.
That's right. Make his guns a little bit bigger.
You know what he should fall four strokes back on Saturday or Sunday. Get down in a prone position. You get up like the Undertaker.
If anyone needs.
Right there on Amen Corner. Just lie down on the bridge and just get up like the Undertaker. After he puts one in the water. One in Ray's Creek on 12, and then his caddy flips him another ball. He puts it down.
And then the Hogan Bridge, he just like pops up.
Hulk Hogan Bridge.
He needs walk-up music.
The Hulk Hogan Bridge.
He needs walk-up music. He does need walk-up music.
Just destroyed Chris Brockman.
Let me tell you something,
Brockman's
brother.
Out. Brockman's out with the Hulk Hogan bridge.
You think of two people that are complete opposites, Hulk Hogan and Ben Hogan.
And the one who can literally bridge him is Bryson DeChambeau.
Eye of the tiger every time he hits the tee.
All right, let's take a break.
My face hurts.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I got my hottest take of the day coming up.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
That's coming up. And I don't usually hot take, but Bryson's got the me plank fired ready. Up. I'm going to take that take and snatch it and give you another take.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here at the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. This may be my hottest take I can ever come up with.
Uh-oh.
I know I'm alone on this, Chris. I know I'm alone on this. I know I'm hoping that I can search to find others who feel the same way about this.
I have no idea where you're going.
Ready to be sizzled on this.
I don't know where you're going with this.
This is my opinion, and I feel it deep down in my bones, and I've had it for a very long time. I cannot stand one shining moment. Cannot stand one shining moment. I don't understand why the whole country's like, oh, this is so wonderful. I can't wait for one shining moment.
What do you mean?
Actually hung around. I mean, I love that.
This is so unlike you, Rich.
But that's the thing, Rich.
I'm assuming this is something
you love.
I
cannot stand it.
And we were talking about that, TJ. Great point. Like, you're so positive and sentimental and optimistic.
Best dad ever.
Call me sappy. You can do it.
You have that sappy element to you, which we all love.
Thank you for.
I'm the same way. The fact that you hate one shining moment.
By the way, I'm guessing TJ Jefferson laughing that you're the same way. Means you disagree with that assessment of
himself.
You're
not really that sentimental, bro.
You should see all the things that I save.
Okay, that's a good point.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like...
He's just got a hard exterior.
I think that's what... Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a Tootsie Roll Pop.
You guys,
you know what I mean?
A
hard... You got to get to that center.
Thank you, Mike. Right.
Brockman is a very lovable person. He gives gifts to people. I mean, he's one of those guys. I mean...
What gifts does he give to people?
Mike. Stuff that you've given him and then he gives it back
no.
to you. Like Mike. Tupperware and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
for
don't
your
mention
kids.
Gifts. Do not mention Chris Brockman's gift giving. Do not I'm mention joking. The fact that when he Brockman was a bachelor, when he was a total bachelor, that Susie and I used to have him over the house all the time. That for Thanksgiving, we had him over. He ate all the leftovers.
So funny bit.
Susie gave him the Tupperware. She gave him the Tupperware. And for days on end, she's like, has Brockman driven back the Tupperware? I'm like, no, would you remind Brockman to give back the Tupperware?
Had it in my car the
I
whole
said
time.
All the, I say, can you give us back the Tupperware, please?
My wife is
he
killing
shows
you.
Up,
you asked him here.
He shows up for the holiday. He shows up for the holiday, for Hanukkah, for Christmas. He brings a gift to my two small children at the time. I think Zam was like 5 and Cooper was 3.
I think you only had
2. That's it.
This is 2013.
So Zan is 5. Cooper is turning 3. Anything in gift wrapping, they're so excited to get. Yeah. He gave Xander the bottom of the Tupperware and Cooper the top.
Fantastic.
That's
Brockman.
The way he returned the Tupperware.
That's sentimental, man.
That's sentimental. He was thinking about him.
He wrapped it, which is like, you know, something else.
I had it in my car for a month to get back to you.
You
but
didn't even wash it, probably.
No, it was washed.
Brockman's like, we were talking about one shining moment.
Yeah, we were talking about you hating on this coolest thing ever, one shining moment. Like, what happened in your life where this took a turn?
I don't like the song. I don't like the song.
You don't like Luther Vandross?
It's not that I don't like Luther Vandross.
What about the song don't you like? Can we break it down line by line?
It is not a sports song. It's not a sports song.
The ball is tipped is the first word.
No. The song, the music is not a sports
song. Oh, it totally is.
But it's tugging at the heartstrings.
The only thing hokier that CBS does, and I say this with the ultimate respect, is the jackets. They put the jackets on the it's so out of date. It is so... it's so hokey. It's hokey.
Wait, the green jackets or the CBS jackets?
Not the green jackets, Chris. The CBS jackets.
You don't like the CBS jackets?
I have one.
You have one.
I know I have one.
It's in the back.
I know it is. But it's a relic from another era.
And the road is long.
Oh, stupid. Come on.
When it's done, win or lose.
Oh, please.
One shining moment.
You always did your best. Because inside you knew. Come on.
They don't even pay the guys. They don't pay them. It's totally hackneyed and totally hypocritical.
Wait, so next year when the players are able to make money, you'll be fine with it?
No, I think the song stinks.
Oh.
Should we swap out One Shining Moment for like another Luther song, like So Amazing?
See, this goes against
it. No, it's just you got to be from the feel the beat of your heart, feel the wind in your face. It's more than a contest. It's more than a race. And when it's done, win or lose, you always did your best because inside you knew. One Shining Moment, you reached for the sky.
This goes against
what
you're
me?
Saying about wanting to play
on.
That one
what?
Game.
Oh
this goes. This is that. Yeah. This the meaning of this song. It's what you were saying yesterday.
It stinks.
Wow.
I love it. Especially when they up, when they
Mike,
like
you
a
know
loud...
music. You know music. It's like, you know, it doesn't get you.
It does. I watched it last night. I sat and waited because I know it's coming up. And I go, once they go,
you
the desk show's done. They go, one shot.
It.
I love it. Are you kidding me?
Hey, stick around through the interviews that you don't really care about. You're like, get to One Shining Moment. Let's go. And you want to see your school. Like, which clips of your school did they use?
Yeah. They had his coach.
Excuse me. My school losing by one wasn't a shining moment for me. The moment stunk.
But you were there.
We could do a whole music.
Oh, but Rich, what about the journey and the stories you have to tell?
No.
That's one shining moment.
I still would rather be in it than not at all. That doesn't mean I need to be in some sort of hackneyed song that's totally... Like, honestly, everybody loves it. And I know this is a hot take as well. Willie, Mickey and the Duke, and all that stuff.
Talking baseball.
Talking baseball. Right. It's great when you're talking baseball or whatever, but in terms of 2021, like, are we going to sit here and make a song about Trout and Harper and, you know, may he be okay Tatis Jr. and set it to the same song that was fine when it was created in the 70s and 80s?
That would be great.
Oh, my God.
Rich, do you know the history behind One Shining Moment? A singer-songwriter from Michigan.
Yeah.
David Barrett, he was inspired to write the song in '86
for
watching Larry Bird, and he wrote the lyrics on a napkin.
Great. Terrific.
Just a little One Shining
that's
Moment
great.
Trivia.
That's a shining moment.
And he gave it to Armin Katayan, who passed it on to CBS.
Just don't feel it. Don't like the song. Don't like it. Don't like it, we'll never like
it's
it.
It's amazing.
I don't like the music. I don't
hum
it in the house.
I like when they bring the music down and they have a like the announcer loud, like full
I don't get goosebumps.
The calls underneath it.
It's amazing.
I think the moments are great, but
like when the buzzer beater,
they're
the
all shining moments.
Was amazing.
It's not one shining moment. They're multiple shining. The song doesn't even make sense.
It's a moment for each person that's in it.
Who hurt you?
Armin Katayan is very upset with you right now.
Well-adjusted human being. And you know I love the gushy side of things.
I know, which is why
it's like it's weird.
I don't like the song.
All right, at Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, dude, no.
One shining moment. Awesome. Stinks.
Please, I know I'm going to be a man standing alone at the plate.
You're gonna take an L on this one.
I know. I prefaced it.
Great tweet from Darren Dijon 90. Rich hating One Shining Moment. Quite the plot twist.
It's very un-Rich Eisen-like, is all we're saying.
I know when I say who's coming with me, I don't have a lot. I get it.
That's all right.
Just don't like it. But my jacket, my CBS sports jacket, still fits.
Can you wear that
from 2003?
Yeah, wear it.
Oh, we're on peak.
You want me to grab it during the commercial break?
Yeah, true. We can't do
Should
that.
I go get it?
Yeah.
I'll go get it. Wyatt Russell, coming up on the Rich Eisen Show.